In Isaiah chapter 9 and the verse 6, we read these words. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Bible, God's precious word to mankind, is a very unique book. No other book gives so much of the history of our world or of the environment that you and I live in, where we came from, how that we should live, and where we will go when we die. Questions that many seek answers for today. And yet all of Scripture revolves around, as it were, one central theme, one central person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe the Bible to be God's word to man, then you must accept what it teaches regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot accept part of the Bible, because the Bible is God's word. And you cannot reject parts of the Bible just because it doesn't suit you. And modern day people today, and liberals, will tell you that there are certain parts of the Bible that they don't believe. You can't do that with God's word. It is a book that from cover to cover is God inspired. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the old men of old that wrote the book were men that were under the direction of God the Holy Ghost. No matter how educated man becomes, he never can live in this world without some knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our calendar dates B.C., before Christ, and A.D., after divinity. But I want us to look at just one aspect tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ that's found in this text. And his name shall be called Wonderful. There's five titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ in this text. Wonderful, first of all, in his birth. The prophet Isaiah puts this title, Wonderful, before Counselor, before the Mighty God, before the Everlasting Father, before the Prince of Peace. You see, Wonderful comes first, and then the next four describes why Jesus is wonderful. Because he's the Mighty Counselor, he's the Mighty God, he's the Everlasting Father, he's the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah, as he saw Jesus through the Holy Spirit, he exclaimed in excitement and joy and happiness, his name shall be called Wonderful. And Luke chapter 2 that we read together, there we see that the angel that appeared unto the shepherds in the verse 10 and 11 of that chapter, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He exclaims at the birth of Jesus, behold, I bring you great tidings of good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then in the verses 13, as we go down, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angel came, and then the angel and the host of heaven with him. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, and they were praising the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were singing about the shepherds, and in the verse 20, we see that the shepherds glorify and praise God. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They had been to the manger in Bethlehem, and they had saw the little babe, the Christ of God, and they came glorifying and praising God. Why did the birth of Jesus create such excitement? You know, every birth is awaited with excitement. The parents are excited, the grandparents are excited, and aunts and uncles are excited. Most people are looking forward to the birth and the safe arrival of the little one. But here was no ordinary birth. Here was a unique birth, because we have here one that was born of the Virgin Mary, one that never known had known man. And chapter 1 in the verse 35, it tells us there, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Mary was visited by an angel, and after being told that she was to have a baby, naturally she asked, "How could this be?" "And the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." What wonderful news to Mary, the Virgin Mary. Born from above, he was God and man, sinless Son of God, God made flesh, unique in that he was the mighty God in flesh. In that verse in Isaiah, it talks about Isaiah 9 and 6, a child is born, and that's his humanity. A son is given, and that's his deity. Because in Christ, when he was born, was the God-man. He was born, yes, a man, like unto you and to me. But he was also God, veiled in human flesh. It was unique because the child born was to be the Savior of the world. In chapter 1, in the verses 46 and 47, Mary, who was just a sinner like any other woman, boy or girl, man, woman, boy or girl, chosen of God to be the earthly mother of Jesus, and yet she was able to sing, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And here we have the Virgin Mary, and she's confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Of course, the Church of Rome will tell you that there was an Immaculate Conception as far as the Virgin Mary was concerned, but of course that is not scriptural. Whenever we have the words of Mary herself, and she says, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." If you weren't a sinner, why do you need a Savior? Why does the people in Londonderry need a Savior tonight? Why does the vast majority of people in this city that are going down the broad road to a lost sinner's hell, why do they need a Savior? Because they need to be saved from their sin, that they will go one day to be with God in heaven. Mary witnessed to the great fact that here was one that was to be the Savior of the world, that God was in man reconciling the world to himself. Do you see the wonderful wonder of the birth of Jesus? Wonderful, wonderful Savior. No other birth was ever like that of Christ. Rejoice that Jesus was born and call his name Wonderful. If Christ had never been born, you and I would be bound for the lake of fire. We would be on our way to be punished for our sins, and justly so, because we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But thank God, Christ was born in Bethlehem. Wonderful in his birth. But he's also wonderful in his childhood. Now, there's not much revealed of the childhood of Jesus in the Bible. He was circumcised, it tells us in Luke's Gospel, that chapter 22 and the verse 21. Circumcised the eighth day according to the law of Moses. He was brought to the temple and he went through the ritual of the Jewish religion. Verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And then we find that he was brought to the temple and blessed by Simeon. And the verse 21, and the verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And here we have Simeon, and he's rejoicing in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord had allowed him to live, to be able to set his eyes upon the Christ of God. What a tremendous, wonderful childhood he had. And then, towards the end of the chapter, we have, at the age of 12, he sat among the learned leaders and rulers and doctors and elders of Israel. And he astonished them with the knowledge that he had. Wonderful in his childhood, the few glimpses that we get in Scripture all point to a wonderful Savior. And you know, in that story of talking to the doctors and to the elders of Israel, and he was missed then by his father and mother. They had gone a day's journey, but verse 44 tells us, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance, and they found him not. You see, they had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was their son. But they had no fellowship. They had lost fellowship with their son. And you know, that gives us an idea that you and I that are saved by God's grace, that we, if we begin to walk afar off from the Lord, we can have, yes, that relationship with Christ, saved by the grace of God, but we can have no fellowship with the Lord. We can break the fellowship because of our sin and our lives. And they had to retrace their steps back again to renew that fellowship. And if you're in the meeting tonight and you're a backslider, there is only one way that you will get right with God, is to go back to where you lost out with God and to repent and to ask God to forgive you, as the psalmist David did all those years ago when he was faced by Nathan the prophet with his sin. What did he do? He cried out, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. You see, David was guilty of murder. He didn't kill Uriah, but he planned his murder. And that proves that those who plan murder, the Apostle Paul or Saul was standing consenting unto the murder of the Christians or of Stephen. And he was just as guilty as if he had murdered him. But you know, when they were faced with their sin, what did they do? King David cried, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Purge me with hyssop, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And thank God there is forgiveness, and there's fellowship can be restored. Wonderful in his birth, wonderful in his childhood, but he was wonderful in his ministry. For 3 short years, Jesus walked the shores of Galilee and throughout Jordan, healing, praising, raising the dead, teaching his disciples the gospel of saving grace. And what a wonderful ministry he had. The compassion that he had on the sick, the many miracles that took place, the blind that was made to see, the woman with the issue of blood that was healed. And we could go on and on and on of the miracles of those that came into the presence of Christ and was immediately healed. because he had compassion upon those that were sick. He had compassion on those that were sad and lonely. We think of Mary and Martha on the death of their brother Lazarus. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ standing amongst those Jews weeping. What compassion he had for Martha and Mary. Compassion on the fearful. The disciples in the boat. And they were scared because of the waves of the sea that they were in that little boat. They thought they were going to perish. And Jesus draws nigh, and what does he say? Fear not. And you know, you and I that are God's children are on a journey of life. And sometimes we have very fearful situations to face. But the Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh to and he says, fear not, I am with thee. The Lord never allows his children to be alone. He is with them 24/7 as they talk about today. Oh, what a tremendous Savior that we have. What a tremendous Lord, wonderful in his ministry for the compassion on the sick, the sad, the lonely, the fearful, but the compassion on the sinner. You remember the woman taken in adultery. What would happen if some people today in Londonderry or Northern Ireland got somebody in adultery? They never would see the light of day. But what did Christ do? He forgave. And he said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, I forgive you and go out and do the same thing tomorrow. But he said, repent. I forgive you. What compassion on those that are sinners. We should read and reread and reread the ministry of our Lord Jesus. Learn from his ministry. Learn from the Beatitudes, the parables. Every word should be studied for its meaning and for its message. Wonderful in his birth. Wonderful in his childhood. Wonderful in his ministry. But you know, he was wonderful in his sacrifice. Nothing more wonderful than the death of Christ on the cross. Humanly speaking, this good man with his 3 years of wonderful ministry had at last been silenced by his enemies, the Jews, his own people. A man thought that this Jesus was gone forever. The devil deceived the Jews, and they thought Jesus was an impostor. But how different the situation really was. As Jesus hung on that cross, he became a sacrifice to God for our sins. He shed his precious blood. He paid the penalty for our sins. He bore the punishment that we deserve. You see, God must punish sin. God doesn't forget your sin. God doesn't forget my sin. Either we will be punished for our sin, or Christ was punished for us on the cross of Calvary. And if we're saved by God's grace, our sins, past, present, and future, were dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ upon the middle cross. He bore the punishment we deserved. Sinner, tonight, if you're not saved in the meeting, what a wonderful sight. When you look at the cross of Christ and you see the precious blood that flowed from his riven side. Jesus bearing away your sin on the tree. Suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. Suffering upon the cross of Calvary. And then we get a sight of the empty tomb when he rose again from the dead. What a sacrifice. What a wonderful Savior we have. Wonderful man of God. My dear friend, tonight, when we look at Calvary, when you look at Calvary tonight, what do you think? Do you see just someone who was a good man? And he hung there. There was a miscarriage of justice, as we're often told today. He shouldn't have been there, but his own people turned against him and the Roman soldiers carried out the evil deed. Or do you see the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, in human flesh, bearing the punishment that you deserve for your sin upon the tree? Would it not bring a tear to your eye tonight as you think of what it cost the eternal God of heaven to punish his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who never committed a sin? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger for a purpose. And that purpose was to fulfill the law of God perfectly. And every day that the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon this earth, he fulfilled the law of God perfectly, something you and I could never do. And he did it on our behalf. That's the robe of righteousness that we're covered with. That's the robe that has come because Jesus lived a perfect life on our behalf. But when he went to the cross of Calvary, there he bled and shed his precious blood and bore our sins upon the tree. What a sacrifice. What do you think of this wonderful Christ tonight? Oh, I trust that you see Jesus high and lifted up upon the tree, bearing away your sins and your own body on the tree. Do you thank God, Christian, tonight for being saved? You know, I think that a lot of God's people today never bother thanking God for saving them. Oh yes, it's very good to get down and ask God every day for what we need, and that is necessary. But do you start off praising God? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for bearing the punishment I deserve for my sin upon the cross of Calvary. If somebody give you £10,000 tonight, you know, every time you'd meet them, you'd be reaching out your hand and thanking them. Well, maybe you people in Londonderry, £10,000 is not a lot of money to you. But you would be thanking them from the very depths of your heart. You'd be saying, thank you. You made a great difference to my life. But the Christ of God that hung upon the center cross paid the ultimate price that you and I could never pay. He died a sacrificial death, satisfied divine justice on our behalf, and yet so many of God's people never thank him. Oh, we should always, every day, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Wonderful in the sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary. But then he's wonderful and saving poor, lost sinners. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ could have been born of the Virgin Mary. He could have had that wonderful childhood. He could have had that wonderful ministry. And he could have made that wonderful sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. But you know, unless it was applied to the sinner's heart, of what avail would it have been? The Lord Jesus Christ, he says, come unto me. Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the invitation from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to those that are not saved. And he says to you tonight, come to me. If any man shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. This wonderful man of Calvary, he saves sinners by his death on the cross. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He'll save you tonight if you repent and ask for forgiveness. Why? By that wonderful power, the power of the Holy Spirit. By that wonderful pardon, cleansed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, how sinners today can live on day after day after day, refusing this wonderful Savior is something that is difficult to understand. Humanly speaking, looking at the situation, we have seen that wonderful birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That wonderful childhood, that wonderful ministry, that wonderful sacrifice. And yet, tonight there are those who will turn their back upon what Christ has done and refuse the offer of God's salvation. And humanly speaking, it looks, why would anyone ever refuse such an offer? Having their sins forgiven, having the penalty removed from them, that they will never enter the lake of fire. Why? Simply because there is a third person involved, and he's the old devil himself. And you know, the old devil is so cunning. There are those tonight in Londonderry, and the devil takes them by the nose through a bottle of whiskey, and he's taken them down to the lake of fire. And he tells them, you don't need salvation, all you need is in this bottle. I remember going up the street of Omagh maybe 40 years ago, one Saturday night, with an open air. This man was taken out of a public house, and how they got him from the public house across the footpath and into the taxi was very simple. They unscrewed the top of a bottle of whiskey and they held it under his nose, and they walked backwards out of the pub and across the street, the footpath in front of me and into the car, and the man followed the swiff of whiskey into the car, led by the nose. The devil takes men with immorality, a woman. And this world in which we live is full of immorality. And the devil says, you don't need Christ. You need enjoyment. You need pleasure. You need love, as they say. The devil takes them down that track. But then, you know, there are those, and I believe there's a lot on this land of ours. And the devil knows that they believe this book. And they believe they need to be saved. And they believe that they know that they're never going to get to heaven until they are saved. And what does the devil say to them? He says, oh, yes, Jesus can save. You know, the devil knows that Jesus can save. But he says, not now. You're too young. Live. Enjoy life. And when you get older. And then when you get older, he says, oh, don't worry about it. You've plenty of time left. And the devil will tell those that know that they need to be saved, not now. What does the Bible say? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You cannot come to Christ when you want to. I remember a traveller calling with me when I had the shop many, many years ago. Lovely man, out of Belfast, Bob was his name. We used to talk about the things of God, and he had really no interest or much interest in it. And then he disappeared. He had taken a heart attack and he had nearly died. And eventually he came back just to do a couple of days a week to get him out of the house. And he came in to me on the first day he was back. He said, Ronnie, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And I thought it was something to do with business. He says, what is it, Bob, you want me to, or you're going to do? He says, I'm going to get saved. And he stopped. But he says, I'm a very selfish man, and I'm going to wait to 15 minutes before I die. Do you know, the hair stood on the back of my head. I had hair then, for understand. And I said, Bob, there is one thing certain. You will never, ever be in God's heaven under those conditions. He says, why not? I said, you cannot tell God that I'm going to live my life as I want to live it. I'm going to do what I want to do, and then I'm coming to you 15 minutes before I die to get into heaven. He says, do you think God's a fool? But you know, the old devil had him so deceived. I wonder, is there someone in this meeting tonight? And you've heard the gospel maybe from a mother's knee right through your teenage years, right on up. And you know that you need to be saved. But the devil tells you, don't come now. Wait Maybe you're making a bargain with God that you'll get saved someday when it suits you. Well, I have news for you. God will not fulfill a bargain with you. God says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What a wonderful Savior we have. Wonderful birth. Wonderful childhood. Wonderful ministry. Wonderful sacrifice. Wonderful in his salvation that he offers to you tonight. Come unto me. If you're not saved tonight, then I urge you to come and put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do I do it? You simply come as you are and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm coming to you. Please wash me in your precious blood. Please come into my heart. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Come into my heart. Cleanse my sin away. Make me a child of thine. And enable me to live for thee from this day forward. And thank God if you pray that prayer tonight. The angels in heaven will rejoice over one sinner coming to Jesus. You say, if I pray that prayer, how do I know? Yes, there's feelings, and you will get feelings. But how do you be sure that you're saved? That's what this book says. Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And if the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you can depend upon what Jesus said. I ask you tonight, if you're not saved, will you come? Don't go away from this service. Speak to us. We're willing to take you and read God's word with you, pray with you, and help you to come. If you're a backslider tonight, do what King David did all those years ago. Cry unto him, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Purge me with hyssop, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And get right with God. And if you're a Christian today, going through with God, then rejoice. And don't look so downhearted. You know, God's children in these days need to be smiling. Now, I'm not talking about the charismatic smile and false smile, but I'm talking about that inner joy of the Lord, that our sins are gone. We have a home in heaven. And we know that whenever we come to the valley of the shadow of death, the Savior will go with us down through the valley, and we'll be landed safely on this heavenly shore. What a tremendous Savior we have. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Come to him tonight.